So three sons. Now, there's a sitcom called Frasier. It's not always good, but it does have some good stuff in it. So it's, and the funny thing about the sitcom Frasier is the two main characters is Frasier Crane and his brother Niles Crane. What's their personality like? They're geniuses. Their intellect is off the charts. They're really, really, really smart, but they're also really clumsy. They're not athletic. They got these other things, so they're really gifted in intellect. What makes that sitcom so funny is when you see a character like that, even before you get to meet his father in the show, what would you expect his father to be like?
Like them.
Like them! A tree does not fall far from the, or a tree does not fall from the apple. An apple does not fall far from a tree. Like father, like son. You guys ever heard of those things? Okay. The sitcom's funny because their father is complete bipolar opposite. He's a jock. He's a cop. And he actually calls Frasier, his son, an egghead. That's dissonance. It doesn't make sense because even to us, you're expecting to be like their father. But in the writing of the sitcom, they bring resolution by who? There's a character we never get to meet. It was the mom. They inherited their mom. But even with us, we know, or we have an idea, father like son. I got to meet somebody, not too long ago, and I got to see a picture of them and a picture of their daughter. And do you know what I was thinking? What does your mom look like? Why would I think that? Because you're seeing traits like father, and you're going to go, holy cow. And guess what happened? Oh, yeah, my mom's... okay, I wasn't shocked. And so, our father calls three people that I'm aware of, specifically my son. And one of them is going to be a little bit indirectly. Why does he do that? But anyways, what's going to happen is we take a look at these three sons. It's going to give us a glimpse of who Adam is. And I really believe, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. Turn to Hebrews chapter 1. And before we go there, the one thing that's critically, critically important with understanding the scriptures is that Yahweh is a Hebrew. He speaks in Hebrew words, not in English words. He can communicate to us, but the book to Moses was in Hebrew. And if I say my father is a giraffe, what does that make me?
A giraffe.
If I say my father is a dolphin, what does it make me?
Dolphin.
A monkey?
Nope.
What did Jesus Christ, would you say nope? It may be a monkey. So somebody goes, my father is an alien. Actually, I used to tell my mom was an alien, a Canadian alien. I tell my friends, my mom's an alien, and that would make me half alien. And they're thinking of a green alien with little antennas and stuff, so I got a kick out of that growing up. But anyways, if I say my father is a god, or the Hebrew word is Elohim, what does that make me? You're saying you're an Elohim. And that's why the Jews pick up stones to stone Jesus Christ. He said, what noble work have I done that you're going to stone me? And they said, not a noble work, but because of blaspheme, because you, being a man, are making yourself... The word A, there is no word A in Hebrew or in Greek. Whenever you see the word A, they've added it. You say, you being a man have made yourself a god. If you're going to put the word A in there, they should have been consistent. Why? He didn't say, I am the creator. He didn't say, I am Yahweh. He said, son of God, I am. Because you keep reading it. So what was he saying? He's saying he's an Elohim. And they didn't like that. It didn't make sense. That was blasphemous. But if my father is an Elohim, what does that make me? Okay, so Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Let me get there. You guys there?
Mm-hmm.
If somebody would read 1 through 9 for me.
Whereas in many parts and in many ways of old, Yahweh spoke unto the fathers in the prophets, as at the end of those days he hath spoken unto us in his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, through whom also he hath made the ages, who being an irradiated light brightness of his glory and an exact representation of his very being, also bearing up all things by the utterance of his power, purification of sins having achieved, sat down on the right hand of the majesty in high places, by so much becoming superior to the messengers. By as much as going beyond them, he both inherited a more distinguished name, for whom, unto which of the messengers said he at any time, My son art thou, I this day have begotten thee. And again, I will become his father, and he shall become my son. But whensoever he again introduceth the first begotten into the habitable earth, he saith, Let all
Elohim's,
let all Elohim's messengers worship him. Even as to the messengers, indeed, he saith, Who maketh his messengers winds, and his ministers of state a fiery flame? But as to the Son, Thy throne, O Elohim, is to time's age abiding, and a scepter of equity is the scepter of his kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. For this cause hath Elohim thy Elohim.
Good.
Is that right?
That's right.
Anointed thee with the oil of exaltation beyond thy partners.
So if you don't understand that if I'm the son of an Elohim, what does that make me? It makes you an Elohim. And that's why the Jews were going to try to kill Jesus Christ. And that's why the scripture says, For this cause hath Elohim, thy Elohim, because with the English, God doesn't have a God. And the word God, you can't translate, it should have translated, literated, or it should have said, not transliterated, they should have said Elohim, because it's not the word we're thinking of. But here it is, and this is the story. What's the purpose of this book? And you think about that, man, Jesus Christ got exalted above all them? I feel bad for those angels, man. I'm like, how long have they been around? Oh, he inherits it all, but what's the, from the scriptures, what is the purpose of this whole book and life? Yahweh, to have a son inherit his creation. His son. And like Donald Trump, if I were for Donald Trump, and Donald Trump Jr. excelled faster than me, of course. He's going to want his son to take over the business. And Yahweh is going to, he gave a shout for his first Adam, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Who's the first Adam? Adam and Eve. The second Adam is Jesus Christ, who's going to come and clean all the seed of the woman. But anyways, here it is. Yahweh, and the reason why we're reading this really is because it says, My son thou art. It says it several times. Yahweh said, My son, over and over and over again. I never thought about it because you've heard it your whole life, right? Not until my dad was doing a teaching on 2 Chronicles or 2 Kings, 2 Samuel. And somebody else is called My son. How many times does that happen in scriptures? Not much. Used to Jesus Christ being called that. Turn to 2 Samuel. Chapter 7. Right after 1 Samuel. Not even a smirk. Man, tough crowd.
What chapter did you say?
7. And David is wanting to build a house for Yahweh. He said, I'm living in a house of cedar, and Yahweh and the Ark of the Covenant are in a tent. The prophet says, do it. And then the prophet went, and Yahweh spoke to the prophet and said, no. Yahweh had different plans. And the prophecy coming forth is really two prophecies in one. When Yahweh's talking about his son, and thy seed is going to be David's son Solomon, but it's also going to be speaking about Jesus Christ, Yahweh's son, Yehoshua Mashiach. but if somebody would read 12 and 14 for me. And so this is a conclusion. Yahweh's saying, you will not build a house for me, your son, and through your seed. And what this was so neat with David afterwards was, who am I, who am I? The seed, David just learned that the seed of the woman, like I was just explaining to somebody, this is, you know, if you watch Terminator, John Connor's going to save everybody. Where's John Connor? You're John Connor. We know John Connor. And his mom is who? Sarah Connor. And so in the movie, they're going to save the whole day. So if you were living in that time and you got to hear John Connor, he's a savior. He's going to save everything. He's that important if you ever watched the Terminator. With Jesus Christ, the seed of the woman, right here, it was revealed to David that the John Connor or Jesus Christ is going to come through you, your seed. And David's like, who am I? who am I? Because before the scripture said, the sea is going to crush the head of the serpent, Genesis 3:15. And then the ground's cursed because you, Adam, right? Now it's cursed. But Jesus Christ is going to fix it. And then in Abraham, it said that the ground will be blessed because of you. E.W. Bullinger and Rothrand point that out. That's to reverse the curse of Adam and Eve. So they would have believed that Jesus Christ, or Yehoshua, the Messiah, Mashiach, is going to come through Abraham. And then we find out later on, where's this trail? Where is he going to come from? Next prophecy, anyone? Jacob, or Israel, prophesies the scepter shall not depart from Judah. Boom, you can remember Satan's watching this going, ah, we're getting closer. That is going to be the seed of Judah. It's going to be Judah. Here it is. And then David, there's a lot of Judah appeal from the seed of Judah, but now Yahweh says it's going to be from your seed, David. And here's when David melts. Did we already read 12?
No.
Okay, 12 and 14, through 14, please.
Okay. And it shall be that when thy days shall be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, then will I raise up thy seed after thee, which proceedeth from thine own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish his kingly throne unto the times age abiding. I will become his father, and he will become my son. And if he commits...
Yeah, that's good right there. Okay. Revelation chapter 20, what is Jesus Christ going to do? He's going to be a king, and guess what he's going to build? He's going to build the temple. Solomon's going to build one temple. It's not going to last very long. But Solomon was a foreshadowing of the king that was going to come. A glimpse. Solomon failed. The first Adam was a foreshadowing of the second Adam who was going to come and choose right. So there's going to be another temple that's going to be built. And it's going to be by another king who's also the seed, and that's Yehoshua Mashiach, and that's in Revelation 20. There's a 1,000-year period here that's going to be, and this is the first beginning of it. He's going to have a kingdom. And remember, Jesus Christ, or Yehoshua, was a kid reading these things going, man, I'm going to get keys to the Cadillac, baby. He was reading this thing. But here Yahweh calls Solomon also, and I think there's another spot, but calls Yahweh calls Solomon my son. Now, let's just take a look at this son. Like father, like son, right? I'll start saying things, and my mom will say, you sound just like your dad. What does that mean? I got a lot of his tendencies, right? Or you look just like your mom. Let's see here. Now turn to 1 Kings chapter 4. Now, what's real important about Solomon, and you start reading Chronicles, this wisdom and stuff, it's really an enigma, because you read about Solomon, and he gets so much wealth and so much knowledge, he's got everything, and then all of a sudden, they're like, it destroyed him. It's like a 20-year-old kid that inherits billions and billions of dollars of assets. He can do whatever he wants. What's going to happen to that kid? They're going to get destroyed. And Solomon, it appears his abundance destroyed him. But my father, it was explaining what he believes, and I think he's right on with this, is Solomon was a glimpse of what Jesus Christ was going to get to be. David was also a type of Jesus Christ, or Yehoshua Mashiach. David's life of suffering and fighting his whole life in preparation was Jesus Christ's earthly ministry before he died. Preparation. Who gathered all the material for the temple? David, he did all the work. He fought. He got all the blood. And then Solomon, the son of David, is a glimpse of what Jesus Christ is going to inherit. And so that's really important, because otherwise you're reading Chronicles of what's going on with this, because then he turned wicked. It doesn't make sense. But if Jesus Christ, Yehoshua Mashiach, is going to be reading this, is he pretty smart? We have no idea. I don't even think we can come close. I'm going to try to come close. How intelligent that kid would have been. Think about Newton, Einstein, John Locke. Nobody would have this kind of intellect. But he would have been reading these things going, got it. How many times would Christ have to read scriptures? We got photographic memory today, right, guys? What's a perfect brain do? You talk to scientists and doctors and they go, man, we're using like 8% of the brain. Can you imagine if we used 20%? There's movies on this, Limitless. If we could use all of this, and guess who would have had all access to the whole brain? The first Adam and the second Adam. And anyways, back to Solomon. Chapter 4 of 1 Kings, page 355. Now, why this is important is when we read about Solomon and some of his wisdom, that's also going to be giving us a painting and an image of Jesus Christ in ways we've never seen him before. Possibly as a kid, his wisdom. I've just read about his miracles so often, I don't even think about it. You know, I'm just going, yeah, he walked on water. So what? Lazarus, get up. But wait a minute. Now we're going to look at some of his intelligence, because in chapter 3, we won't go there, but in chapter 3, Solomon asks Yahweh. Yahweh goes, what do you want? He goes, give me wisdom so that I can serve you better. Who could do this? And Yahweh goes, because you have done that, you'll get everything. And what was Solomon's first request? Serve. To give. He was just like who? His father. Good start, son. I see it's in you. You got it in you. And we get another glimpse of what this son, who is this son, Solomon the son, is a reflection of who his father was. Go down to verse 16. I don't know if we need to read that whole thing. I'll explain it. So the first test is the two unchaste women come in because they both had children. They're both prostitutes probably. And one sleeps on their baby at night and dies. And now they're both fighting over one baby and there's no witnesses. And how are you going to decide who is the baby and who's the rightful mother? And they're prostitutes. Or they're unchaste women, so they're not like royal people or anything. And what happens? It goes to the Supreme Court, Solomon. What are you going to do with this? What I love about this is it gives us an image. Who loved that child more than anybody? Yahweh. Right? And how is Solomon going to get the wisdom from his father? To be like his father, Solomon's going to have to work at it. You got to choose, son. You choose. And what would he have done? He would have got in peace with Yahweh. He's a God of peace, not confusion. If you're not in peace, you don't got reception. Get in peace. And Solomon would have got down. What do I do? And what did Yahweh tell him? Cut the baby in half. Come on. Give me a minute. I'm going to go on a walk. Hey, Solomon, you got it yet? Yeah, give me a minute. Walking, okay, I'm gonna play some song, do this and this and that. And he comes back, he's back down on his knees, cut the baby in half, split it. That doesn't sound very
holy.
Go back and get who would have got confirmation. It doesn't say this is what Solomon did, but we could relate to that. You got something that is not loving either one of those women, and it's not loving the baby is being divided. Was it? What happens? Solomon says, divide the baby. Can you imagine people watching? Can you imagine Satan, their adversary, watching? Oh, yeah, here he is. Here's your son. Gonna cut a baby in half, split it apart. What happens? A real mother speaks up. She goes, don't cut the baby in half, let her have the baby. The other woman says, nah, cut it in half so we can both split it. And Solomon goes, then the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, word of knowledge would have been cut the baby in half. Word of wisdom is, that's the real mom. Give the baby to her. I don't know what they did with the other one, but she should have been put to death or something. And then everybody marveled, and it was neat in verse 28. We will read that in the conclusion. And all of Israel heard the judgment which the king had delivered, and they stood in awe. What does awe mean? Fear. Okay, you're going to go to court, and we're going to hook you up to a lie detector. And we're going to ask you about their relationship. Would you be nervous?
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to go before a judge with somebody. Here's a lie detector or whatever. But this is more than a lie detector. Fear of, you guys better get things right. Solomon is just like his father. So that wisdom. And the neat thing we can relate, we'll come back to this at the very end, is that we can relate to Solomon. Solomon didn't know what was going to happen. That's not faith. But after it was done, who loved the kid more? And that's where we can be obedient to when the father says, don't answer that phone call. Don't respond. Don't do that. No, no. You go, well, that sure seems harsh. You go, I don't understand that. Wait a minute. Who loves them more than I do? He does. He gave his son so they he asked his son to die the death of the cross for them. He'll take care of them. He'll tell me, and then he'll tell me to Aaron, you take care of you. Now we're going to read over on chapter 4. So that just is a glimpse of his wisdom. Would that, if you were wicked, would that scare you?
Yeah.
If you were enslaving Africans as slaves, and these Africans could go to him, would that bother you? Yeah. If you're righteous, you'd love it. Wicked people, they're going, hold on a second. I got to pay some taxes. I got to get some things right. There's a new sheriff in town. Chapter 4, verse 20 is going to be a glimpse of Solomon's wisdom. And if you guys will take turns reading, we're going to read 20 through 34.
Okay. Judah and Israel were many as the sand that is by the sea, for multitude, eating and drinking and rejoicing. And Solomon became ruler over all the kingdoms from the river, the land of the Philistines, as far as the boundary of Egypt. And these were bringing presents and serving Solomon all the days of his life. And it came to pass that Solomon's provisions for one day was 30 measures of fine flour, 60 meals of meal, 10 fat oxen and 20 oxen out of the pasture, and 100 sheep, beside harts and gazelles and roebucks and fatted fowl. For he had dominion over all on this side of the river, from Tiphisha, even as far as Gaza, over all the kings on this side of the river. And he had peace on all the sides of him round about. And Judah and Israel dwelt securely, every man under his own vine and under his own fig tree, from Dan unto Beersheba, all the days of Solomon. And it came to pass that Solomon had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots, and 12,000 horsemen. And these governors provided sustenance for King Solomon, for all that drew near unto the table of King Solomon, every man in his mouth, they let not be lacking. Barley also and crushed straw for the horses and for the swift beasts brought they in unto the palace, where he should be, every man according to his charge. And Elohim gave wisdom unto Solomon and discernment and very great largeness of heart, like the sand is on the shore of the sea, so that the wisdom of Solomon excelled the wisdom of all the sons of the east and all the wisdom of the Egyptians, so that he was wiser than any man from Ethan, the Ezraite, and Heman and Kokol, and Dardan, son of Mahal. And it came to pass that his name was throughout all the nations round about. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and it came to pass that his songs were 1,005. And he discoursed of trees, from the cedar that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out in the wall. And he discoursed of beasts and birds and of creeping things and fishes. And there came in of all the peoples to hear the wisdom of Solomon, of all the kings of the earth to hear his wisdom.
And so when you get to read about Solomon's wealth and stuff like this, project that into Revelation chapter 20. It's a glimpse of what Yehoshua is going to get. Solomon's going to fall, but his life, and why did Yahweh, not just why did Yahweh, Solomon's life, what did Yahweh record here? A glimpse of what his son was going to get to inherit. You are my son, just like Adam. And if you do, if you're obedient, if you're trusty, worthy with little, worthy with much, Jesus Christ said that. Do you think it applied to him? Yeah. You'll get all of this and hear this thing is, and then 3,000 proverbs. This guy could sing songs, photographic memory, wisdom. And how do you have peace on all sides? There's only one way to have peace with wicked people. How is that? Force.
Power.
He was very organized. And, oh, just peace, peace, peace. No, that's not how you have peace. You have peace like President Trump had, because we'll pop you. We'll nuke you. We'll snipe you. And that's what Solomon, and remember when they're trying to, one king, he keeps trying to get Israel, and they go, And he goes, man, which one of you guys keeps telling my plans to my adversaries? He goes, it's not us, O king. It's the prophet Elijah. I think it's Elijah. Elijah or Shah?
Shah.
And they go, who is he? Well, he's a prophet, and he knows everything you're doing. He even knows what you're saying in your bedroom. He's like, okay, kill that guy. Didn't work, because he heard that too. Well, you can imagine, who is Solomon when he obeyed? Solomon is Yahweh's avatar. So are you Yahweh's avatar when you obey. Here's Solomon. Did Solomon know about wars? Oh, yeah. Do you think the adversary? Who's the hands and feet of Satan, the adversary? Men. Do you think the Muslims at that time, the terrorists at that time go, oh, okay, well, let's just have peace, because no. There had been war, and Solomon would have wisdom and prophecy, and here's this. Build a wall here. Remove a wall there. Put these people over here. Here's this wisdom, this wisdom, this wisdom. And what is that wisdom? It is a glimpse of his father. His father, and Elohim. And so, now turn to Luke. So we read about Solomon's wisdom. We've read that. We know about Yehoshua's wisdom. But I don't know if I've ever thought about wisdom and intellect like I did Solomon. Here's this guy. I get to see. Here's this. And maybe it's because I always saw Jesus Christ as something I can't relate to because he's perfect, right? Well, Solomon wasn't perfect. Obviously, as he failed at the end, his love of foreign women. But you can look at that in Solomon, and that kind of wisdom gives you a glimpse of who Jesus Christ was rearing up. Can you imagine that kind of wisdom as an 8-year-old? Oh, he's back! Don't take Yehoshua's wallet! He's coming back soon! Oh, I got it! Can you imagine being his little brothers? This guy's on... He'd be one heck of a supervisor. I had 6 supervisors over me. I had 4 sisters and 2 brothers older than me. Man, they're always bossing me around. Can you imagine Jesus Christ being your older brother? Hey! Get over here! I know what you did with that. How'd you know? I did that in secret. But he was Jesus Christ, or Yehoshua was a glimpse of our Father. But if you think about the wisdom of Solomon, figuring things out, and then the humility. Jesus Christ didn't have to flex his muscles. He probably didn't. When somebody with superior intellect gets challenged by cockroaches, I'm not worried about what a cockroach thinks of me, or a slug. I don't care what a prostitute and a drug dealer think of me. I don't care what Islamics think about me, or CNN, MSNBC. They're my enemies. I don't care what they think. And Jesus Christ would have been, no, I don't got to show anything off here. And so anyways, Luke chapter 3. Let me get there. And we're going to read the genealogy of Yehoshua Mashiach, chapter 3. It starts off at verse 23. Yehoshua himself. I won't make you guys butcher these names. There's a lot of names in here. And guess what? Some of these guys, who are they? Who cares? Yahweh cares. And one day they're going to get to see their names written in the book. And so we get to see in our own lives are a record of what we did and nobody saw. Yehoshua himself, when he began about 30 years of age, being the son of the supposed Joseph of Heli, of Matthai, and Joseph was his stepfather, Levi, Malachi, it goes on and on and on. And actually, you keep reading, you go to all the names, Nathan, David, Jesse, Boaz, Abinadab, and you get down to verse... Would somebody volunteer verse 38?
Verse what?
38.
Of Enos, of Seth, of Adam, and of Yahweh.
So who is the father of Enos? Seth. Who is the father of Methuselah? Can you see that?
Lamech.
Enoch.
So who is the father of Adam? Yahweh, Elohim. Could you pause it?
Lamech was the father of Methuselah. Methuselah was the father of Enoch.
No, other way.
Other way.
Does that go the other way around?
Oh, yeah, because okay. It ends up with the creator. So that kind of gives you a hint which direction. So the end of genealogy, chapter 3 of Luke, verse 38, says Adam's father was Yahweh, God, Elohim. And if your father's an Elohim, what does that make you? Elohim. It makes you an Elohim. And Adam means mankind, Adam. And so, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Well, we don't have to, we'll turn there. Genesis chapter 1, 27. There's two accounts of creation. The Rotherham, if you have a Rotherham, you'll point it out and you get to see it. If not, you're going to miss this, like I did. But 127, what does it say? And Elohim created the man, or mankind, in his own image. In the image of Elohim created he him. How did he create Adam and Eve?
Next verse. Male and female.
Male and female. So male and female means twins. Twins were created. And then when you read over chapter 2, verse 23, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, a man's going to leave his father and his mother. What's that talking about? That's marriage. So Genesis chapter 2, it's got to be talking about a wedding. The twins get married in Genesis chapter 2. It has to. It's talking about, because they'd already been created. But the important thing is, whose image was Adam and Eve created in? Yahweh's. Is Yahweh a caveman?
No.
Clock here. Rock! Rock! Fire! Hot fire! Is that what Yahweh looks like?
No.
What does Yahweh look like?
Glorious.
We have an image of him with Solomon as a glimpse of what his children look like before they're broken down. I'm reading about missionaries and stuff. You get to see man will devolve. The longer a man acts like an animal, he starts becoming an animal. And some of these missionaries, you get to find when people are acting, they're worse than animals. Man has freedom of will. Adam, or animals do not get the freedom of will that live like Yahweh. You got like one program. We either obey or disobey. But we have a choice. Man was created on the sixth day. You can live like a beast, or you can live like your father. What did Adam and Eve look like?
Their father.
God, who's the smartest woman who ever existed?
Eve.
Eve. Did you know that before this teaching?
No.
Neither did I. Probably an hour and a half ago, I go, that should be good trivia. Who was the smartest woman who ever lived? Eve. Who was the smartest man?
Adam.
Well, Solomon. Because it said nobody was as smart, as wise as Solomon. But Jesus Christ. So the three most intelligent human beings who have ever existed, Yehoshua Mashiach, Solomon, and before him, Adam and Eve, the twins. Not just Adam, not just the man. These guys, perfect brain, perfect intellect, smart physics. And how long did they live? Genesis chapter 5, verse 5. I got to read that they had approximately 56 kids. And they said, well, that's because they lived 900 years. You could have 56 kids in 100 years. They only had 56 kids. Probably, we don't know why, but they're probably so busy. What did people do with Solomon? We got a problem, bud. How are we going to do this? We got problems with physics. We got problems with wars. And they would come to Solomon and he'd say, what is the problem? And they would listen and he would say, here's the solution. Creation after Adam and Eve, they would have came to the image. We only know of one sin of Adam and Eve. That's it. So as far as we know, they rebelled once. And after that, they got right back to work, as far as we know. So what would have happened? How long did they live? Chapter 5, verse 5. And every time you see Adam, it could be either mankind or it could be Adam. If you read that, how long did he live?
Well, after Seth, they were 800 years.
No, verse 5, verse
930 5.
930 years of King Solomon. Think of Adam. And when you say you want to know what Adam was like, King Solomon, a ruler who knew how to build. What did Solomon do? He built temples. He would have built roads. He knew about physics. Does Yahweh know about physics? Yes. Yes. Yes, he knows about physics. And would Adam have known about physics? Yes. Would he know about gravity? Yes. Would he have known about fire? Yeah, he's just like his father. Then everybody else after you make a copy of a copy of a copy, what happens? It starts devolving. Pun intended. Devolution. And what would happen is you guys are acting like idiots. They would come. You got a 1,000-year reign of Adam. You guys ever heard of that before?
No.
It's going to happen in the book of Revelation. Except this Adam didn't get 1,000 years. He got close to it. It was a glimpse of Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation. What did Adam and Eve look like? A king and a queen. Royal attire. If they're going to wear clothes, would President Trump or Melania Trump be wearing hand-me-downs? Would they be wearing my clothing? Came from China? No. I mean, this is an expensive suit to me. They dress very proper. They know who they are. And it would have been 1,000 years of Adam and Eve, possibly Eve, of ruling. And I believe Solomon and his knowledge and his wealth gives us also an example of possibly what the first Adam and Eve in their life would have been like. Would they have been wealthy? Do you think they knew about calculus, mathematics? Who's their father? In the image of Yahweh. Yeah, they knew about that. Do you think they knew about investing, seed time and harvest? Do you think they knew a little bit about investing and buying? Are you kidding me? They would have been the smartest people ever. And they would have had a kingdom if they're that smart, possibly. It doesn't say that, but I believe that Solomon is a glimpse of Adam. And then Solomon was going to be a glimpse of Jesus Christ, who took the ball and kept going. He never looked back. Solomon was another type of Adam. And I believe Yahweh recorded these things to encode, to show us stuff like, who was the smartest woman who ever existed? I never knew. And I was seeking, and our Father revealed it, and I was like, yes! I never heard that before. So, Solomon gives us a glimpse of Adam and Eve and Jesus Christ. It could also show us of Christ as he was growing up before he received the Holy Spirit. He was just like his Father. But perfect. Perfect. I'm a little bit like my mom. I'm a little bit like my mom, a little bit like my dad, and I'm a little bit like an animal. Well, Jesus Christ wouldn't have that problem. The first Adam wouldn't have that either. That all of us would not be a one-third animal if we're not disciplined. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. And there's more! There's more! Today, only today, 1995. 1 John chapter 3. If your father's a monkey, it makes you a monkey. If a father's a giraffe, it makes you a giraffe. Pretty simple, right? But revolutionary. My father is the one that taught that. So my claim to fame. Can you imagine Jesus Christ going, my father did that. My father did that. No, millions of years of evolution. No, my father did that. Been looking at all this. My dad did this. My dad did that. And Solomon the same way. But chapter 3, verse 1. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1, behold what manner of ahab or love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that children of Elohim or children of Yahweh we should be called. And such we are, therefore the world understandeth us not. Why doesn't the world understand us? Because we are our Father. Jesus Christ looked at him and said, you are of your father the devil, seed of the serpent. They came to John the Baptist, he said, brood of vipers, who warned you the wrath to come? Because of John the Baptist, as far as they knew, the book of Revelation was getting ready to happen. And here all these religious people probably came up. Here I am, I have my Bibles. Those Bibles don't fool me, buddy. Brood of vipers, here you are. Anyways, but we are, the world does not understand us. So if the world does understand you, you're probably not doing your job. We should be a peculiar people going, these guys are weirdos. Good. Because the job of our life is to be outside. To be a city shining on a hill. People are going to make fun of you. Do you think they made fun of Jesus Christ? Absolutely. Do you think they called him names? Oh, he's an idiot. Look how dumb he is. He don't even know how to do math right. Yeah, he knows how to do math. He knows how to do all this. He's not going to prove things to you. But our job is to be like our Father. Verse 2, beloved, now are we children of Elohim or Yahweh. But I look at Christians who are not the children of Elohim. I look at Christians that are children of an animal. Man was created on the sixth day. You could either be like the beast, which was created on the sixth day, or like Yahweh was created on the, or created Adam in his image on the sixth day. My father brought that up. You have a choice. You guys ever had a Christian hurt your heart? Attack you? Attack you for being righteous? Ouch! They're choosing to be like the first Adam, and they're rebelling against our father. And verse 10, hereunto are manifest. Here is the evidence of children of Yahweh. You want to know who is the children of Yahweh? And the children of the adversary. You want to know who the children of the adversary is? Let's see some fruit. Why don't you just tell me a little bit about yourself? Whosoever is not doing righteousness, what is righteousness? It is written. If it's not written, then it's not righteous. Okay? Our Father knows how hard your life is and my life is. He knows what He told you to do. No, it's impossible. I can't do it. All of us have that. What is it written? Is it written? Will it be profitable if you stay the course? Well, you don't understand what it's like to be a man these days. Women. He understands. And He will reward you. What are you going to choose to do? It is written. Are you righteous? It is written. Here it is. Whoever is not doing righteousness is not of Yahweh, nor yet he that is not loving his brother. Are you not loving your brother as yourself? Are you not honoring your mother and your father? Would you reverse this? If you're not honoring your mother and your father, and Jesus Christ called them out just like that, are you kidding? That's the fifth commandment. You're not loving your mother and your father? You're the children of the adversary in that area. Well, I don't want to be called the adversary. 1 John 1:9, it is written, repent. You can't be forgiven for something if you don't repent. A judge cannot expunge your records if you don't show up to court. Does that make sense? You know what expunge your record means? You have a criminal record. You did something stupid. You can bribe the court system, pay them a lot of money to get rid of it all. So, we can also be images of Yahweh. We can choose to be His sons and daughters. But you have to choose just like the first Adam. Solomon chose to rebel, and he missed it. And we can do that each day. But our Father tells us, if we get down on our knees and we obey His word, we can have the wisdom of Solomon. And we can have those lives, and more important to those things, in this life you will have trouble. He calls it a current evil age. Is it going to be easy? No, He says it's going to be hard. Did He warn His son it's going to be hard? Yahweh's not going to sugarcoat it. Son, you got the hardest job in existence. Really? How hard? Do you like challenges? My dad does. He likes Ben like to fix stuff. Yeah, we can fix stuff all the time. Can you imagine Jesus Christ going, I bet you I could do this. But Yahweh would not. It's the hardest it's ever going to be. Well, then why would I do that? Because this life is this big. Son, listen to me. I'll reward you above anything you could ever imagine. And when you can't understand your calling, look at me. Look at your dad. You're on the football field. People are booing you. They're trying to get you thrown off the team. Nobody likes you. Your own team doesn't like you. The other team doesn't like you. I want you to turn around and look up at me. You got it. You got what it takes. And that happens in sports. And Jesus Christ would have done it. How can I do this? How can I do this? He would have moved back. It is written. I got 4 days left till Passover. 4 days. 4 days till I'm the Passover lamb. Can I do this? You kidding me? This guy didn't get to sleep. He didn't get to eat. He didn't get to hardly do anything. Nobody's ever worked that hard, but Yahweh says it's going to be worth it. And He does the same thing for us. And what's even better than that, what's easier for us, did our Lord and Savior, Yehoshua Mashiach, know when He was going to die? Yeah, it was on the calendar. You're the Passover lamb. You're the Lamb of God. They took the blood of the lamb and put it over the doorpost, right? Yeah, He knew exactly when He was going to die. He knew how long He had to give. And who knows how hard it was going up into it. The last 2 weeks, the last week. Trying to get everything done. And then even His father tell him, not that one. Why not that one? Go this way. We don't know when Christ is coming back. It could be tonight. It could be tomorrow. And so, to be encouraging yourselves and encouraging yourselves, but really the point of the whole teaching was giving a whole other light of Adam and Eve about them being a kings of Solomon. I think of like King Esther, this royal attire for 1,000 years almost, ruling. Well, I didn't say they ruled. Well, they're the smartest of people that are out there, and they're that smart. You live 900 years. You're going to have something to show for it, I would assume. But I think our Father shows all that. But Yehoshua is called my son, Hebrews 1:5, Matthew 3:17, Mark 1:11, 2 Peter 1:17. Solomon's called my son, and Adam is indirectly called his son too. And we are called his son when we obey. It doesn't mean we lost our salvation. But you want to be like your dad? Act like your dad, and he'll reward you for it. So we should be encouraging one another with this, to say we could be just like our Father. And if we remember, you know, every once in a while you got to take one for the team, whether it's in sports, whether you're a parent disciplining all your kids. I don't know how hard it was for my mom and my dad. You had 7 kids. And it could have been all the kids and mom are rebelling and my dad's got to stand up. Now everybody hates him, vote him off the island. Or it could be all the kids and my dad against mom because she's righteous. That's not easy, is it? But we get to choose either to obey or to disobey. And Father, we thank you. I thank you for you getting to share these things and leading all this up to these things through my Father's teachings, what you revealed to him. And I thank you that you've hidden things. And I thank you for all the stuff you've hidden. And that as we pursue you, that you will unveil more of you. I thank you that you call us sons and daughters, and it's up to us to pursue you and to act like you and your son. And to be reminded that Solomon did not know what was going to happen, neither did your son know what was going to happen. They just had to go faith first to scriptures. And I thank you that you've given us these examples to also give us an example of what and how we'll be rewarded. My sons and daughters, know that I'm your father and I plan perfectly. Perfectly. My timing is right. And when you mess up, I can compensate. But when you're messing up, you got to stop. Because you're making things worse and worse and worse. But when you turn around and you fall upon your knees and you admit your guilt so that I can wash you with the blood of my son, then we get started up again and we'll fix it all.